certain things, let's say, the fact that all of the human race descended from one person 6,000 years ago, or that there was a global flood. I mean, things like that it doesn't seem like the Torah is portraying it as a mashal or anything like that.
Well, the Chibus of Rashba that says that the Hasidei Umoseinu, you know, the greatest people in our nation, that when they find something in philosophy, those days philosophy meant science also, it was all inclusive, that they like, that makes sense to them, and then they see something in the Torah that so they take the Torah to be allegorical. Because all the Rishonim say, you can't deny your chush, you can't deny your senses, you can't deny your mind. So whatever your mind and your senses tell you to be true, you know it's true. And if you find psukkim is not really intended to teach science, so therefore psukkim you have to interpret allegorically or a combination of allegory and fact. I mean, there's a Ramban that says the Torah has a chosim v'agolui. It means that it's a combination of like things that are hidden and things that are factual. So you have to know like what, you have to know what is what. But whatever we know from science, we know is a fact. We don't contradict science.
Even something like, let's say, the Avos, whether the Avos existed. You know, I know that like there were some people in like the time of the Rishonim that said that it was just like an allegory. So you think if we had like some scientific reason to believe that didn't happen, then we would believe science. Yeah. Obviously, it was good science, not bad science.
How could science like disprove something like that?
I mean,
that's true. I mean, whatever science proves, we have to workshop. Mm-hmm. And Ramban says, Rainbow. Ramban says that that's mashma from the Torah that the rainbow is created at that point. He says, well, we can't deny science. The Greek scientists, they say it's a phenomenon of nature. So he says, that's why we interpret. Take a careful look at the psukim. It says, it's kashti nasati banan. I did it a long time ago. Not that it was created at this point. So we Al Kochenu, we must, he says, we have to accept what the Greeks say in science. So there's no way to deny science. Deny science is off the board. Right. And you deny your mind. You deny your mind and you have nothing. And the whole Torah is to find the truth.
So even if Hazal and the Rishonim have a certain interpretation or certain sort of, like, if it's, you're saying if it goes against science, like, and established science, and you know, you have to just go with your senses.
Right, that's right. Yeah, the Shmuel Nugget says. He says that in the Shas, you have halacha and you have agada. He says halacha is Moshe Mishinai. The agada, he says, we treat the following way. If we understand it, we accept it. And if not, we don't rely on it. What it means is it's good for us insofar as we understand it and gain ideas from it. But if we don't, so then it has no value. And Divrei Chazal, you understand, are interpreted in many, many ways. So that's what the Rashba says.
Has there been, in terms of those particular examples?
I'm doing that. Oh, boy.
that Jonah gave, and others, that there was never a flood that covered, you know, or, you know, that everybody isn't descended from one person. Is that, have they scientifically proven that? Like, often they make a lot of logical mistakes or whatever, yeah.
That's true, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, that's not my area. Yeah. But, you have to really go into the science of it. But people that deny, like, dinosaurs, or that they were 50 million years old, I mean, that's impossible. That's an absurdity. It was the famous guy that wrote the
absurdity to deny that.
Yeah, to deny. It's absurdity because they have the scientific ways of measuring the time are not just one thing, and it's, and they all, when they all converge, and it's too scientific. I mean, it's not conjecture.
Right.
Yeah. But like, are we talking about sciences that you can't scientifically disprove anymore, like certain things like gravity, or like, because like science is progressive, so things that like I mean the Aristotelian physics today, like today,
that's true.
It's not like, I mean, so when we say accept the sciences, I mean, it might seem like it's science, but it might just be like a joke material 1,000 years later. So how exactly? How do we approach that?
You have to have an intellect to know how to discern. I mean, certain things in science progress, but where science progresses, you're not going to go backwards. No, we're never going to believe the world is flat, no matter how far science progresses. So science does change, but it doesn't change. Doesn't just retract old positions and reinstitute previous positions. It moves ahead and gives a different lay of the land. We're not going to go back to before the atom bomb. Yeah.
So do you think it's important to look into those? So these types of things, like let's say you knew that the story of Ajahn was allegorical, then you would read the story very differently. Because that means that if it's completely, put there to be an allegory, then every little element, like the significant words that just happened,
right.
Then, it's a different
Well,
story.
You wouldn't read it differently because the main thing is the ideas
mm-hmm.
that you gain from the story. That's the main thing. So that will be done the same way, because the way the psukim are set up and how you derive the limudim,
right.
And that will be the exact same thing. So the main thing is the ideas. Like the Rambam, for instance, he says the whole thing with Lot was all Mari HaNavua.
Mm-hmm.
So if you study him, I think I gave a share in the last year, and I showed the idea of the people surrounding the house, and the whole the alley was according to him was an allegory. So it's the idea that you gain from the Torah. That's what the Torah is about. But you can't deny it. If you deny science, really, it's like denying my medicine. Because my medicine is based on your knowledge. So if you deny your knowledge, I mean, you have nothing. You can't chacham the bracha you make when you see a great scientist. That's your nothing. The chacham also lebos of the dumb. So how could they make such a bracha if you're going to say that scientists don't know what they're talking about? Yeah, it's not possible. But I know there's a movement today to discredit science and give ridiculous answers, like to say that the earth was created with dinosaurs and it was created looking old. I mean, that's by the way, that's not an original that's not an original answer. I mean, there was a famous guy that came up with that answer hundreds of years ago, and he said that he realized, though, afterwards, he said that by the same token, you could say that the everything was created yesterday with your memory traces. So he realized, he was very proud of himself, because he says you can't refute this argument. It's irrefutable. Which is true. But not everything that's irrefutable is true.
really?
Yeah.
I'm in Queen's College, and in a philosophy course that I was in yesterday, the professor was presenting a view that all ideas or conceptions that anyone can have are a result of the language that they speak. Since we can only think in words, therefore we can only derive concepts based on the possibilities of words that we have. And he gave an analogy of like a terrain which will determine the direction of the rainfall, of how it trickles down. And the question I had was, isn't it true that sometimes we think conceptually and we don't think in words? Or maybe the question is, how do we think? How do we process information? Is it necessarily something that has to be done?
Well, what about mathematicians? How do they think? Not words.
Right.
I don't know what the professor is. I don't know. What field? Language?
It's introduction to philosophy, but he spent one day on linguistics.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a real science. a lot of things go in the name of science, but I'm talking about the hardcore science. Anything else from college? maybe when he gets into philosophy itself, we'll have a moment there. What part? The whole semester is introduction to philosophy?
He goes through like a very general overview, and he tries to be as objective as possible. And he,
right.
You know,
right.
Just pretending.
But science and philosophy are two different things, though. Because there's a lot of conjecture there. Yes.
What's the I've heard a different chat among the Sagada, but I was wondering what's the chat in the Gemara when Moshe sits in a Rabbi Akiva's a base medrash, and he doesn't recognize like the methodology of Rabbi Akiva, or he didn't recognize the Torah that Rabbi Akiva would teach him. Like, what exactly is the chat there?
Well, the basic pshat is that Torah is a system that advances on its own in its own orbit, and it has its own way of advancing. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw Rabbi Akiva how advanced he was, so he didn't understand the Torah. But it's all then he saw it's all from the source is all from him. So the source is all from Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Torah is a method of advancing. The Gemara, the Chazal says Torah is Rechavim and Yom, Rechavim Mideret Mida, Gdolim Mideret Mida, Rechavim and Yom, the Poran Verovim, and it multiplies. So the Chachmei Yisrael, when they apply their minds to the Torah, if you have the system, it will grow. They'll have different opinions and different ideas. But it all stems from one core system and one core methodology. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Rabbi Akiva was so advanced that he said to God, he said, if you had somebody like that, why don't you give the Torah to him?
But what does that mean, like a system of advancing, like different like drushas? Like what do we
mean? Yeah, like drushas, like the Rambam. Well, the Rambam sheet is that the drushas are by Chazal. That Torah was neatly darish.
Did Moshe have like the formulations of the concepts, and they just had more drushas that expressed those concepts, or were they working on formulations progressing?
They were working on formulations.
Making more abstract, or?
Yeah, more abstract, yeah. In other words, the Torah really contains room for when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah. That's the Kisrei Osios. The Torah really contains room for a great chacham to come into the scene and see greater ideas.
Are the ideas intrinsically laden within the Torah itself, or is it something that is later, put onto the Torah? I mean, are the drushas intrinsically connected to?
Well, you see, it's like I have to give you a mashal, but the concept is that I think in the beginning of that Chazal it says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw God writing Kisrei Osios. So he said, "For whom are you writing that?" So he said, "There's going to be somebody in the later Doros that's going to learn all these Kisrei Osios." Now, Kisrei Osios means deeper ideas. So God created the Torah, so Moshe Rabbeinu said the Torah is deep enough. So he said, nope, I have to make it deep for the deepest man.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it has to be. So he built into Torah a system of wisdom where if you keep on penetrating, even if you Rabbi Akiva's mind, you'll still see new ideas. You'll always see new ideas. So that's the nature of the Torah. The mashal I would give is like a man's mathematical ability. So a man's mathematical ability allows him to, throughout the centuries, to advance and to come up with new mathematics and different types of mathematics because of the nature of mathematics. So the nature of Torah is such that it lends itself to such type of growth.
Was that practically true when they still had, like, you know, Kabbalah, or is that, like, still true?
Kabbalah is something else. Kabbalah really is something different. Kabbalah is not the halacha. Kabbalah is the is how we relate to the
right.
creation and to my Shema Kabbalah.
So you're not talking about like philosophical ideas, you mean like halacha?
Halacha.
But he wasn't, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was still a bigger chacham than Rabbi Akiva? Or was
seems
it,
that,
was it just different
seems
area?
That in the area of Talmud, Rabbi Akiva took it even further. Akiva was able to see things that he didn't.
But I guess...
doesn't necessarily make him a smaller person.
Right.
Because in metaphysical areas he was greater. And in the void was greater, but in Talmud.
How does that sound? I mean, wouldn't you expect the two skills to be... Yeah.
No, it's not necessarily true. In other words, it's true that Maisei Bereishis and Maisei Merkava are higher orders of Limud.
Right.
But it's not true that if you know the higher one, that you necessarily know the lower one.
Like you spend more time on it?
Spend more time on it, or his mind is better attuned to it.
Oh, you mean like the nature of the halakhic system as
right,
opposed to conductive thought perspective.
Right. And there are abstract points in the halakhic system which are just as abstract as in the higher systems. It doesn't mean that the Gemara says, the Rama mentions that there were areas in Tumah and Tahara that Nevi'im was too abstract for Nevi'im. So it doesn't mean that in that area you can't have very abstract points also. It might be just as abstract, but it's of a different nature, different type of abstraction. You know what I mean? It's a different type of abstraction. But say if you have a certain type of mind, so you could be very good for that kind of abstraction.
Well, Rama talks about the progression from Havayas Abaya Barava to the deeper areas. He doesn't mean like I mean you can there can be two people. One's going to be higher on Havayas Abaya Barava, but
that's
he might
right.
be lower on the Maisa Merkava Maisa Bereishis
and vice versa.
Right.
A question with regards to that. So, like how the Rambam describes it, that you know, Maisa Merkava is Davar Gadol and Maisa Bereishis.
Davar Gadol.
Rabbi and Rav is Davar Gadol. So, I know that, like you know, the our Chachamim, like they have certain responsibilities, like to the generation, and everything. But, I mean, wouldn't they be better off a lot of times, like being concerned with those things? And
with the Davar Gadol, you mean?
Yeah.
See, the problem with the Davar Gadol is that Davar Gadol is very rational. And most people aren't moved by rationality. And as a matter of fact, like, there's a certain danger. There's a whole Gemara we're doing right now, in Mishichshach, where Chazal say that there's a big danger to give out to the Hamon certain ideas. Like, Pachas Pachas Midal Ramas is a method of not being Chal Shabbos and carrying on Shabbos. The Gemara says if you make light of it, so then people would understand that this is a different structure. It's not structure like other Takana Shachan, and it's easier, and therefore it's one that you should use first. So they lose respect for it altogether, and then they violate it. So you can't. A lot of chachma has to be concealed. That's why the pasuk says that the sifsei kohen yishmer das, that the lips of the kohen seal the das. Because it's not for everybody. So Davar Gadol is really not for everybody. I mean, it's just, if it becomes too rational, it's going to lose a lot of people. So you have to be careful who you impart it to.
In terms of that, you know, that journey book, so, Rama just makes it sound like, you know, first you engage in the Bible Rama. And then, you know, you, like, later on, but he doesn't say, like, exactly when. Now, how are you supposed to know?
At first what?
So he doesn't tell you what is the exact point where you're supposed to say, okay, my research is more important, I should now start studying this. You know? Well, like, he doesn't tell you the exact point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah. I think the reason is because in those areas, if a person is an honest investigator, so first they investigate the area of Davar Gadol. And I think that as they do that, if they're successful, they'll be able to see gain some insight into the double level, but they'll move with the success that they experience. You know what I mean? So, in other words, really, a person should be involved in first in double cutting to master double cutting, because that gives you the methodology and the whole approach and the whole system and the mitzvahs and everything. But he should have an eye out for double level. Like, you know, occasionally he engages in it. And if he sees that he really finds great ideas there and his mind is attuned to it, so once he studies double cutting, he knows what that means. He knows what it means when the mind can see the beauty of something. So then he experiences that, it opens up. So as he experiences that, he progresses in that area.
So it's not like one day you say, okay, now I'm ready.
Right. And not everybody is ready for that. I mean, that's what the Gemara says, that there were great chachamim, and 3 out of 4 didn't make it. Because it involves very difficult areas, very difficult ideas. Difficult for the person emotionally, and difficult for the person intellectually. As I said before, one of them died, one lost his mind, then Acher became an apikoros, and Rabbi Kiva was the only one that was able to succeed. So you see, because then you're getting into the world of absolute reason, which is a world that man is not built for by nature. You know what I mean? So it's a very difficult experience. Very difficult experience. That's why Plato is a good marshal. He says that if a person would have parents,